Welcome to episode number 36 of the Circles Off podcast. I'm Rob Pizzola, joined by Johnny from BetStamp. And Johnny, I actually want to start this episode with a little bit of Twitter beef, just because I saw this about 5 minutes before we were going to record. And I thought it'd be interesting to bring up because it's beef between two guys that we've had on the program before. I don't know if you've seen this or not yet. Do you know what I'm referring to?
Is this Rufus and the golf matchup stuff?
Yes. So we've had Rufus Peabody on before, professional bettor, mainly focuses on golf, but lots of other markets as well. We have had Abnormally Dissed on, which is actually one episode that probably be our biggest episode of all time. Gets the most downloads, most streams and listens over the course of the year, or has so far.
So far, circles off to the moon once we release the video. So
yes, we'll have to bring him so back far. On. Yes. So I'm going to read this tweet that I noticed. It was tweeted a couple hours before we're actually recording this episode, but I found it interesting. And then these guys went back and forth, but Abnormally Dissed tweets, "Let's do a 1 million head-to-head next golf year at Rufus Peabody. I'll put the money in escrow. You don't have to. Head-to-head lines on bookmaker, 25% of the pool to most dollars won for PGA outrights, head-to-head, Euro outrights, head-to-head. Run from mid-March to August. I'll pay for," he put unabashed, but he meant unabated, "to develop a tracker so this can drive traffic." So essentially, we have one guy challenging another guy to $1 million head-to-head on the next golf year. And Rufus declined.
So the big dogs are out to play here, Rob. But what we got to ask you first is, what do you think stemmed this? So, I mean, probably a bunch of people talking smack on Twitter, and that's really all it is. But what stemmed AD to put out that tweet for the challenge?
So there is a very popular Slack chat in the gambling community that's run by Ed from Right Angle Sports. And Abnormally Dissed is, you know, very prominent in that chat. And from, like, I'm just deciphering from this thread between Abnormally Dissed and Rufus, but it sounds like people have been going to AD and saying, "Hey, you know, Rufus is talking shit about you," or something along that capacity. He's asking around about you, whether you're a winner or not. So this seems to me like AD trying to put together some sort of competition to, I guess, prove himself to Rufus.
Yeah, got it. So I guess we're going to break this down then real quick then. But I think for starters, what needs to be said is a lot of people challenge other people to contests on Twitter. There's a lot of things usually wrong with those challenges. With this one, I think AD put together a solid proposal. You know, from, I can kind of think of it from his mind here. You know, not that I want to pick sides or anything like that, but you know, he sees a guy obviously talking shit about him in the Slack chat, you know, not really adding him or, you know, tagging him directly, just kind of subliminally tweeting that AD might not be as great as he claims or a winning better, you know, referencing the AD recapped guy on Twitter, which, you know, we got that guy is just a guy who's like, you know, recapping Abnormally Distributed plays. Admittedly, he said he's missed a lot of plays. He just puts in whatever he sees. So listen, that obviously needs to be thrown out the window and not used as a certified talking point. But, you know, if it was up to date and it had all of his plays in there, then I guess there would be some validity, even though it would be a smaller sample size. But keeps referencing that. And then AD, in his mind, I'm imagining, just says, "Hey, you know what? Enough is enough. Like, this guy thinks he can beat me. He thinks he's so much better than me. Like, all right, let's do it. And this could be a decent earn for both of us. $1 million, obviously, you know, not the most money in the world, but it's a decent amount that should be enticing for somebody to do a challenge and devote a significant amount of time to, given that, you know, it's divided into four categories, but, you know, two and two, you'd break even, but there's would be presumably no vig on that. And it could be a decent earn up to $1 million, over a golf season could potentially, you know, double your profits or, you know, add a significant percentage. So I think the challenge there is enough money that it should be, you know, a no brainer for Rufus to take if he thinks he's got that big an edge. But at the same time, it's also just a better challenge than the other ones we've seen on Twitter, on different platforms, because usually when a better challenges another better, it ends up being like something that's not really a true indicator of their actual skill. So if you do like, oh, let's go for a 1 week contest or a 1 month contest, there's really a big, big degree of variance there that we saw, like a tortoise beat Ben the Better. You know, it's a 1 week sample. Really anything can happen. Coin flip versus coin flip. But when we're talking about a full golf season, he's checked off the sample size being large enough, being it's a full season, can't really get much longer than that. We've talked about motivation to do it. $1 million, not a small amount. Definitely would be interested there. And then lastly, a lot of people in these different competitions are worried like, oh, is this guy going to pay? Is he going to stiff me if I win? You know, I'm going to take his million. Oh, he doesn't have it. You know, oh, too bad. I can't get paid. And what AD's even said, obviously in that tweet, is he'll escrow the money. So he'll send it to somebody that I guess they can both trust or rely on, public figure in the space, to hold on to for the golf season. And even said Rufus doesn't need to send his share. So he's basically going to allow Rufus to bet on credit while he's going to post up with somebody, giving Rufus basically zero worry or very minimal worry of actually getting paid if he wins. So all in, wanted to break down that challenge and just explain why it's significantly different than a lot of the other stuff we've seen in this space. There's no risk of a stiff for Rufus. There's right. really no risk of a small sample size because you can't get much longer than 1 year. What are they going to do? Oh, next 10 years, head-to-head golf, like, see ya. And then last, like I said, like it'll be publicly tracked. They can figure out what to do. It's a good amount of money. Like I think I'd be all for it. But with that being said, I know Rob, you had like maybe a potentially different view on like why Rufus might want to not accept this. So I want to let you share your thoughts.
Yeah. So let me start by saying that I respect the hell out of both of these guys. So this is not like pitting one against the other. I respect both at their craft. I believe that they're both long-term winners. I'm much closer with Rufus in the sense that I talk to him on a personal basis a lot more than I do AD. But my thoughts are this. AD crafted this competition in a manner where it's very smart the way that he did it for all the reasons that you mentioned, Johnny, in that it makes Rufus look like he's scared if he doesn't accept this challenge because he's taken away the element of risk for Rufus and he's made it a large sample. So from that perspective, I think it's very intelligent the way that he's posed this. I think about it in the sense that if somebody did this, somebody came at me in the exact same way for NHL, which I believe is my biggest edge in any sport. Maybe. I mean, arguably, but either way, I win in NHL. So if somebody came at me with that and said, you know, we're going to offer you the exact same NHL challenge over the course of a season, I don't know if I would accept, even if I was very confident that I was going to win. So first off, I got to talk about the variance of just one entire season, because I've had NHL seasons that are like 15% ROI. I've had ones that are 1.5% ROI doing the exact same thing. Sometimes things work in your favor. Sometimes they don't. That's just the nature of betting on sports. So there is still, despite the fact that it's a full season, a lot of variance within that season itself. The second thing is, there is something that's not being touched on here, which is the value of keeping your information private, which I think is what probably scares Rufus the most, is people being able to see which sides he is betting in golf tournaments. I don't want to say like necessarily reverse engineering his model, but for anyone who models sports, you're always going to have some sort of tendencies to favor in golf, for example, a certain golfer, or consistently bet against a certain golfer. And once people start to pick up on those tendencies, they can potentially beat you to market. They can start to figure things out. Essentially, they can profile what you're doing. And if you have a market impact like Rufus does, then it's going to be detrimental to you. It's the same thing for hockey, where people are always messaging me to work with me. I you know, I can give you accounts and this and that. It's like, no, I want to keep things as private as possible, because as soon as people see what I'm on, they're able to profile me. Now, if somebody wants to go hit market earlier than me, which is the case, a lot of times where there's a lot of earlier action, whether that's overnight or, you know, lower limits, then I'm going to lose out on that. So from that perspective, I think that there's enough downside where I'm not sure that if I was in Rufus's shoes, I would ever accept something like this.
Well said. I think, listen, there's arguments to be had on both sides. I'm with you. If I was Rufus, I wouldn't accept it either, just because like the value of actually keeping those plays private probably outweighs the expected value in this one single isolated competition. And the reality of it is, unless it was a chance to far out earn what you were going to out earn in the year, then it's probably not worth even the stress of having this done. You know, the risk of, like you said, potentially it you losing and then just having the that public persona and that reputation that you had go maybe a little bit sour. So I wouldn't accept it either. What I'll say is I don't think Rufus is scared of accepting this challenge in any capacity. It's just what Rob said. Like, it doesn't make sense right now, right? And from AD's perspective, I mean, I got to side with that guy in saying, like, he put it out. He put it out there. You know, a guy's talking shit about you or a guy just says something about you and you're like, okay, really? You think I'm not going to win at golf? You think I'm not better than you at golf? Let's do it. $1 million. Let's go right now. So both guys, I think, kind of in the right here, as much as it sounds, where they can't really, you know, they just can't come to agreement. But I hope maybe it's something will happen. What I would propose is, like, there probably would be a scenario in which, like, Rufus could keep his plays private and they could do this more in a private setting where, I guess, yes, Rufus would only expose his plays to AD, which, again, still probably not favorable for Rufus. But at that point, if you're talking about winning a milli off this, then it's likely going to be a good move for him. So all in, interesting thing that happened on Twitter today. I'm glad we could break it down because a lot of people don't really come at it from the stance of somebody who might have ulterior motives or might not be able to play in this competition. You know, it's not about fear. It's like, I bring this analogy even like to UFC or boxing. Like, a lot of times people say like, oh, this guy's scared to fight me. Like, he doesn't want to fight me. He's scared. And the reality is he's not scared to fight you per se. It's just not a good move for his career to fight that caliber of fighter when he could fight a smaller fighter. Like, there's a tier of fighters in UFC where they haven't like gotten to that clout yet and they haven't, you know, they're not a big money fight, but they're very, very skilled and very good. So fighting that guy is like a lose-lose. Either you beat him and then you're just the same far ahead as if you beat up on a much lesser opponent, tin can style guy, or you lose and now you've lost to someone who wasn't a big money fight. You set yourself back in your career and you're unable to build back from that as quickly because you've lost to someone that didn't have notoriety, all while not getting paid a big money for that fight. So all in, I think it draws parallels to that, as in, it would be, you know, it's a cool thing. It would be a fun thing, but it just doesn't make sense. It's not that anyone's scared of someone else. It just doesn't make sense in this scenario. But
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you also, there's more to add on to the situation, right? Like, Rufus participated in that competition with Empire Maker, which was the golf DFS one, which ended up turning into like a complete fiasco because there was like a rules violation or, you know, Rufus was in a state that did not allow him to actually enter DFS lineups, which I think was Nevada or something, and he had to drive to the border. It was just a complete disaster. And like, the thing about competitions is that they're just a headache on top of it. Like, it's, you know, you can pit your season against someone else's, but once you have to like start with certain limitations, we're using this sports book, we can only bet these things, it just becomes an added headache. So I completely understand why AD wants to, you know, defend himself and you know, prove that his reputation as an elite golf bettor is warranted. I get that. I'm the type of guy that's very similar to him in the sense that if anyone was coming at me in any stretch of the imagination, or I've heard like rumblings of somebody not respecting what I do, I'd call them out on it too. I would look to try to make that person a fool in a public forum. And I think that's kind of the route he's gone here, where he's made it where it's like, in a sense of, I'm offering this competition, I'm removing so much of the risk on your end. It's going to make you look terrible if you don't accept. But I think there's just so much more downside that people wouldn't be considering if they were in Rufus's shoes. And I'd completely understand why he would just deflect and say, no, I'm not interested type of thing. And I don't think it will blow over, but I'd be interested to see if more comes of this in the next few days.
Yeah, but could you just, and again, I agree with Rufus, I wouldn't take the challenge, but could you imagine if someone was just talking shit about you in hockey and they're like, nah, I'd book Rob. I don't think he's a winning hockey bettor. Guy loses so much. He's a long-term loser. Like, he's not going to win in hockey. I'd book him. And then you're like, you know what? I can't stand this guy. I think I'll beat him. I know I'll beat him. Like, let's go. I'll go for, you think you can beat me? Like, let's go for $1 million. I'll escrow. You don't even have to put up the money, whatever you want. Let's just do it for $1 million. And then he's like, nah, I'm good. That's kind of, right. It's like, it's a I big get it, slap but in like, the face.
But from my own perspective, like if you remember how the Ben the Better versus Tortellini, the tortoise challenge happened, how that started, it never started with Ben challenging a tortoise to a competition. It started with him challenging me. And it was basically like, well, Rob is always ripping on me for my losing picks. You know, he should put his money where his mouth is. We should have some sort of competition. At which point it's like, okay, I'm very confident that I will beat Ben. I'm not 100% confident I'm going to beat him over a two-week stretch. And in fact, Ben ended up with a winning record over that two-week stretch. It's probably like the best 2 weeks he's ever had his entire life. But for me to go head-to-head, like there's just zero upside. People expect me to win. I mean, the money's not going to be worth my time. So there's just so much that needs to be factored into these competition-based things. And at the end of the day, I mean, I've never really concerned myself with that stuff. I have too much to worry about on a day-to-day basis and trying to make money. And then you add in like an additional headache, an additional element of stress on top of it. And I mean, I can see why anyone would not be interested in that. But yeah, I mean, I do enjoy the Twitter drama though, I will say. Like whenever this kind of stuff comes up, I don't remember. There used to be that like that actual Twitter drama account. I don't know if you remember that one, John.
Yeah, yeah, no, I like that guy. I wonder what he's doing now. Yeah. I wonder.
I don't know what happened to that. Yeah, I don't know who that was, but it was a great account because it just surfaced all this stuff, and I used to have notifications on for him, but I don't know if he's been tweeting in a long time. Anyways, I thought it was worthwhile to talk about it just because two former guests, two people that I respect. But aside from that, it's been like a pretty crazy week for me, or at least a week and a half, Johnny. I'm not sure if your day-to-day has changed, but for me, like as I'm not typically someone who is, I don't want to say even steam chasing news, but it's kind of like what I've had to do over the course of the last week and a half, just because of all this, these COVID situations across sports. It's really just consumed a lot of my time.
So yeah, let's get into that. That's another interesting topic. Like this week's been pretty brutal across all of the major sports. So, I mean, maybe just give a quick recap on like how this might affect someone who is trying to bet professionally in terms of like all these game postponements, injury info, and not just regular injuries now, but guys going on the COVID list, potential to return, potential not to return. Like how is that impacting everything for you?
It's making me second guess whether or not I want to play things early. That's the biggest impact right away, because typically I'm not shy about getting involved in a market early in the week. Consider NFL, for example, right? If I like a game, I'll bet it on Tuesday. I have no issue doing that because typically there's upside and downside for each team and you consider it 50-50. It's the same thing with COVID for the most part. I mean, technically it's not. You can profile some teams of having a higher risk of COVID based off whether they've already had a mass breakout or whatever. But now you get to where if that news affects you positively or negatively, it's not a swing of like a half point or a point. It's a swing of like a touchdown in the NFL. So it really changes your thinking. And for me, I've really had to think about what my risk tolerance is of betting these games I like earlier in the week, because you know the impact that COVID could have is drastic. So I think that's one thing that a lot of people are suffering from now is, do I want to bet early still, or am I just going to wait till all the information is out there? The challenge is, you wait till all the information is out there, then the lines are gone, right? You're not really, unless you can really quickly bet something, which is what I've been doing for the last week and a half. I see a COVID situation, I don't care who it is, whatever, I'm betting the other side. Because the likelihood that that COVID situation is going to spiral further is high. It's not just like one or two players test positive, it ends up being like 10 by the end of the week. So that's sort of been my approach, but it's like, it's just unprecedented in the way that I would attack this stuff. In the sense that I've really become someone who's just playing injury news for the last few weeks, Johnny.
Yeah, and that's a business model of a lot of people, you know, myself included to an extent. Like the best time to bet is, you talk about betting before the news comes out, which is tough, right? Because if you bet an opening line, you don't know Baker Mayfield's going to be out. He's out. You know, how do you bet the Raiders? You're laughing. How do you bet the Browns? You're crying. And that's just the reality of it is, if you have an edge, for the most part, by the way, that news over the long run is going to go against you and for you 50-50. So,
yep.
You know, people tend to remember the losses a lot more than they remember the wins in these scenarios. But for the most part, if you bet before the news comes out, your line's probably going to be better or significantly better, significantly worse by the time the game starts. And that's, you know, a scenario where a lot of people might not prefer to be in. In my opinion, obviously, the best time to bet is after the news, but before the line is moved. It's like what Rob's saying, you know, say, oh, Travis Kelce has COVID. You know, you run, you bet whoever's playing the Chiefs, and you know that they lost Kelce and potentially some more players down in the line. Now, does Travis Kelce alone move the spread enough to just be blindly betting any number at that time after a move? Absolutely not. But, you know, there's scenarios in which there's certain players in certain sports that do move that line enough to warrant a blind bet. So, for example, you know, Travis Kelce goes out. That was followed then by Tyreek Hill, by a couple other key players on the defense. You know, who knows? Like, there's obviously a much higher chance now that Patrick Mahomes is going to test positive versus somebody on, you know, an opposition team that has no cases currently. So just things to keep in mind is that, like Rob mentioned, like situation spiraling out of control. You always want to be on the right end of that, because that's something that might not be factored into the line. You know, it's factored in that these guys are out. But what's not factored in is that there's a non-zero chance that more guys are now going to be out throughout that week. So there's a huge right. edge potential there. But what I was more saying is, you always want to be betting, if you can, after the news before the line move. Okay, so the line opens, let's say Chiefs minus six, someone gets injured, you still want to be betting at the six. Once that line has moved down to minus five, minus four, minus three, and again, I'm just making up numbers here. These aren't exact numbers for this scenario, so it's just a, you know, hypothetical. But you want to be betting at the number that was available before, right? So we've talked about it a little before, but if you're listening to this, you're trying to, like, you know, factor in these injury news and these different types of things that are happening. Once the line's been adjusted and you go into the game time, there's no more edge, right? So you can't now go in before a game and say, ah, I'm going to bet the Steelers this week because Kelce and Hill are out. That's already factored in, long gone. So important, remember what the numbers were before. Have some sort of screen up. You can track everything on BetStamp. You know, we have the odds comparison up for you right away. So if someone's out, you can go there and check what the number is and see what it's moving to. But what you're going to want to do is make sure you're not betting at the adjusted number. Otherwise, you're just betting into a new number. So that's a little bit of a lesson that a lot of pros know, and I'm sure a lot of people listening to this podcast know as well, but just happy to share it again. In terms of the injury stuff, though, the one main edge I guess we can share is that the situations do spiral out of control, as Rob mentioned. So yep. When one player is out, that's not it. It's not a one and done. It might be, but chances are it's not. Anything to add, Rob? I know we're wanting to keep this episode pretty short, but what else is going on with COVID right now that's potentially impacted your betting across different sports? I know there's a lot of postponements in the NHL right now.
Well, there's lots of things because the leagues are starting to adapt their rules as well. So what was happening with COVID in the NFL a week ago is very different from what's going to happen with COVID in the NFL next week, as they start to change the rules around asymptomatic players, for example, still being able to play. One thing that we know is not going to change is if you are unvaccinated and you get a positive COVID test, you're out for the week. So when a guy like Joey Bosa, for example, tests positive, he's out. We know that, even if it happens early in the week. So that's maybe a situation you want to jump on. I mean, maybe you want to factor in the opponent too, and I'm sure there's not a lot of people rushing to bet the Texans.
Breaking news right now from Adam Schefter. Another Chiefs player on the COVID list. As we're talking about it, literally right now, 1 minute ago. Offensive tackle, Mike Remmers. Now, again, not the thing that's going to move the line 5 points, but that's another factor that comes in. Like, it's a starting offensive tackle now. So exactly what we're saying, sorry to cut up. I just saw the notif pop up from Schefter, and like, it couldn't be more fitting than to just say it right now. Like, it's not built in. We got to get this. It's like it's an edge to be had.
Right. So now, if this had happened in real time, immediately I'm going to go and see what the value, what I think the value is of that player. Mike Remmers is currently on IR for the Chiefs, and I think has been for a few weeks now. I don't know if he's potentially with the team in terms of going through walkthroughs or anything like that. I highly doubt it. So for me, this is a case where I would say it's probably isolated to just Remmers right now, and there's no further action required. But say, for example, it was their left tackle, Orlando Brown. Now, right away, you start to say, okay, now potentially we could be getting mass casualties on the offensive line against a Steelers team that has a very good defensive line. It's actually the strength of their defense. So I want to pounce on that right away. So it's being able to parse this information very quickly. And a lot of people, and I'm going to speak mainly to the casual bettor right now, because I've heard this a lot this week, especially from close friends of mine. Oh, I'm not betting this stuff until Sunday. I'm not betting this till like an hour before the game when I know who's going to play and who's not going to play, which I understand that there's a desire for people to want to know everything regarding a game, who's going to be in, who's going to be out. But at that point, if you're just a casual bettor, you're doing this for fun, you're not getting down a lot of money, do you think the likelihood of you being able to parse that information at that time is better than professionals parsing that information at that time? The answer is very likely no. You're competing in a market with other people that are getting down a lot of money who win at what they do. And if you're just jumping in an hour before game time, it's very likely that the line has already been bet into place, unless there's some sort of new information that's happening. So you might think you have some sort of edge. It's very likely a false edge. And I'm not speaking in terms of certainties. Maybe there is somebody doing something out there which is not being, you know, is not being done by other influencers in the market. But for the most part, if you're waiting till all this information has become available, then it's very likely that that information or that line has already been moved based off of the information in that game. So that's just like the biggest piece of advice: is you have to be very reactionary over the course of a week. You have to be on top of this stuff. And I mean, I understand that people, it's holidays, people are off of work, they want to relax, maybe they're working jobs and grinding till the end of the year, whatever, and they don't have TweetDeck up in front of them like I do for the majority of the day at a computer, so they're at a competitive disadvantage. But if you are going to react to injury news 2 or 3 hours after that news has come out and the line has already moved, like Johnny said, then you are reacting to something that's already been accounted for by the market, and you're doing yourself a disservice at that point. So that's the big like takeaway for me, is as much as it's difficult, you really have to be on the ball. And on top of that, I will say, I noticed this particularly with Cleveland and Las Vegas. It was a big mistake that I saw a lot of people make, but the NFL announced that they were considering moving the game due to all the COVID situations for Cleveland. Bunch of people rushing to bet the Las Vegas Raiders at whatever their sports book is, because Cleveland has 20 positive COVID tests and it's so bad that the game might be moved. Well, you really have to understand your sports book rules. Like, every sports book has house rules, very easy to find on any sports book site. You can Google them, you can do whatever. Every single sports book will have a rule in case of a game being postponed or moved. And the vast majority of those bets that were placed at that time just ended up getting canceled. And there was only one sports book that I know of that actually honored those those Las Vegas Cleveland bets, because their specific house rule was that they would honor a game that was played up to 5 days in advance. So be aware of that as well. A lot of people think they're very smart trying to capitalize on this information and getting a bunch of money down, but you have to get it down in the right places as well. So that's just something to consider. And I know this is new to everyone. It's new to me. Believe me, I'm adapting on a daily basis as well. I do not have all the answers. I learn something new every day in regards to how to attack the COVID landscape. But the biggest mistakes I see made right now are waiting till way too late to get your bet in, betting at sports books that are not going to honor your bet based off of the information that becomes available, and also not accounting for changes in the league rules. Like I said, what happened in the NFL last week won't be the same case in the NFL in the upcoming week, and you need to really be aware of that.
Okay. Sorry to letting you rant there. Been working on an insider drama here. I have live quotes from Rufus Peabody on the on the contest. Yes, direct. So we're going to get Rufus's official public comment. That's obviously not his Twitter. So I would say, listen, Rufus, his first point is exactly what you mentioned, Rob, which is it's very negative EV for him to show his picks. So regardless of that, it's a tough bounce for him to have to share everything publicly. So he's just not going to put that out there for any amount of money. Now, granted, I'm sure there would be an amount of money that he'd put it out for, but from Rufus's point of view, $1 million then is just not enough to put his stuff out there. And I agree, because it's going to erode not just this year's edge, but also future years, right? So if he's, correct, let's say he's making, I'll just make up a number, but, you know, let's say he was making less than $1 million this year, even then, like, the expected value on this challenge is probably not much more than, you know, 60-40 or 70-30. So he might have expected value of a couple hundred grand. It's not probably not worth it to put that everything out there. It's going to erode years and years edge. So first thing, you know, you got it right there. Rufus said the second thing, which I think I just asked him if I can go into detail about this, and he said sure, is AD mentioned that he wanted to do this, basically do the challenge against bookmaker lines, right? So what would happen then is, and we can cut this out if we don't want to go into detail about this, but Rufus said he would basically be betting into the lines that he had already shaped,
right? So, which is, I mean, I don't think we have to cut that out, because it's public knowledge that Rufus has a heavy impact on the early BetKris/bookmaker opening lines. I mean, that's not, I don't think that's anything that's private right now.
So yeah, for sure. But if Rufus is now betting into numbers he's already shaped, now he's really actually betting into stuff that's zero edge. Otherwise it would have been shaped further. So that's a very, very valid point that I think we didn't factor in here, is that it's pretty much going to be like Rufus's edge on the bookmaker openers is going to be minimal because he's already bet into them. So there's really no reason for him to actually bet bookmaker again, unless something moves opposition to him, in which case those are likely his lowest edges and his largest ones are coming on the ones with no resistance. So completely skip that and didn't factor that in. But yeah, it would be tough for me to accept that as well in that scenario. What Rufus did say is, I'll go quote for quote, said, "The Calcuttas have shown that dick measuring contests aren't good for me. Now I publicly have a micro penis." So he's even admitting it. Obviously the Calcuttas, I think he lost a lot of money to Jeff Ma, which was funny and all. And I mean, maybe it wasn't a lot of money to Rufus, but that's at the end of the day. I think what would be good is Rufus has suggested something else. Maybe we can try to get this going. And if we can build golf in time over the next couple of weeks into BetStamp, we'd be happy to track this and have everything go 100% through BetStamp here. But Data Golf is a company that also shapes the golf markets. If you listen to our last podcast I released with Logan Matthews, he did mention a lot about Data Golf and how that works, and how, you know, Rufus's Chris numbers are definitely going to, you know, put something in there, but also we're going to have Data Golf that comes in and moves the market as well. So what Rufus suggested, and I'm just texting right now, is for AD to potentially go head to head against Data Golf, which is someone or some company who is actually already putting out public numbers. So there's no risk of having everything be out in the open there. So I think that might be an interesting challenge. Rufus said, he's, you know, he thinks likely he can potentially find enough backers on the Data Golf side to maybe get to that $1 million, or to maybe get to somewhere where, you know, it'd be worth AD's while to do the challenge. I'm open to tracking this on BetStamp. We obviously don't support golf right now, but we're working on it. It's our next sport that we're going to add to the app. We are going to have full tracking for head-to-heads. Hopefully bookmaker ends up being one of the top priorities given its significance in the betting space, especially in the golf market. So, I mean, that could be something that's very interesting. Rob, what do you think of that?
Well, I think it's interesting too, because AD has been publicly open about not being a believer in Data Golf. So I think that there's something there. I mean, it's moving the goalpost a little bit, because I'm sure that's not what AD had in mind when he originally was running this type of competition. But he has openly, I don't know, I'm looking for the right words here. Other than, I mean, he's openly shit on data golf before, if we're being real. So he obviously thinks that what he has is better than that. If he was able to do a $1 million competition to go up against those numbers, I'm sure that's something that would satisfy him in some capacity.
Okay. I mean, listen, I'll let these guys hash it out. I'm not going to be the person who's trying to create drama or anything like that. If they did want to go AD versus data golf, or as you guys will call it, AD versus DG, in a straight head-to-head, then I think there's a chance we could potentially support that on Betstamp, you know, track everything for free, have them input the lines directly there, you know, obviously hopefully gain some exposure to our platform as well, and then make sure everything's 100% documented and there's no, you know, funny business, as that's what we do, you know, no past posting, everything verified, 100% lines at the time. So That could be something of interest to us, as well as to potentially AD and Data Golf, if Rufus can potentially find the backers, or if he's willing to maybe potentially put up the money and just say, hey, go against Data Golf's lines, you won't even beat these guys. Then that could be something that's maybe even more fun than Rufus. It's kind of like the Ben the Better versus you, but he's got to get through the challenge.
He's got to get through Data Golf, and just like Ben had to get through Tortellini, and yeah, he lost in the, he was not able to get that done. Yeah, listen, I as an independent third party, I do love the competition style stuff. I remember when Preston, who we've had on this podcast as well, Sports Cheetah, went head to head with Matt Zylbert, who calls himself the king of over unders, and won by like an insane amount over the course of a baseball season. Like, that kind of stuff is funny to me when I'm not involved in it, because I don't have to deal with the day-to-day headache of being involved in it. But I can understand why anyone wouldn't want to be a part of those, especially anyone that has quote-unquote something to lose, which I think is the case with Rufus.
All right. Well, I think we'll close off the podcast with that. This was a good little quick episode. We wanted to record a video for you guys this week. Unfortunately, with some of the just like restrictions and stuff in the COVID situation, we weren't able to meet up, Rob and I, this week. But next week, we're hoping to meet up if all goes well, and we should be back in the studio with the top audio quality, top video quality. And we're probably going to try to have a couple segments that might be a little more fun for people as well. We've been collecting some tweets that are pretty triggering to both Rob and I. Tweeted by a variety of people. Sometimes it's, egg accounts with a little comment, and sometimes it's some public figures. But we're hoping to do is potentially, throw those up on the screen and break down some absolute utter nonsense that goes on in the gambling space. So that could be an interesting segment for next week. Obviously, fingers crossed, hope everything goes well and we're able to record in studio next Wednesday. And if so, we'll see you guys next week with an awesome video episode.
Happy holidays, everyone. If you enjoyed the podcast, please rate and review 5 stars. And if you haven't downloaded Betstamp.
One thing, you can review podcasts on Spotify now. So in the past, it was only Apple. They just released that. So if you guys don't mind, if anyone listens on Spotify, please rate and review. Helps us grow the show and put out more content for you guys. Thank you, everyone. Take care. Happy holidays.